What manner of love is this? I learned that it means, where did a love like that came from? He taught me that one. Where does a love like that come from? I am grateful to have Dr. Norris Belcher to be here to preach for us. Dr. Belcher, most of you know that I came out of a denominational church, and I was about 23 when I joined the church Open Door in Westminster. Dr. Shelton Smith was there, and we were there from 83 until he left in 95. And then, so that was 12 years, I guess. And I was only on staff for about 10 years with Dr. Smith. And then Dr. Norris Belcher came. It's interesting how this worked. In fact, when I was at Hiles Anderson going to college, Dr. Smith had told me there wasn't any money to bring me back on staff down there, and that was okay. And I kind of went out and talked to him in Joliet, Illinois. And he was thinking about hiring me. He wanted to be a youth pastor and music director, and I wasn't much of a youth pastor. And it just didn't feel right at the time, but I liked the guy. I did. And this was in 91. And so then about March, April, I guess it was, Dr. Smith gave, I called him, told him I was going to sell the house and there's no place. He said, well, give me 2 weeks, about a little less than a week. He called me back and said, I've got a place for you. When to serve at Open Door. Little did I know, 4 years later, Dr. Belcher would be coming, and I'd be on his staff after all. And, of course, when I went back to Open Door to be Dr. Smith's music director, also became youth pastor. So just the way it worked, you know how it goes, right? And But anyway, Dr. Belcher, I have learned many, many, many things. Now, if you tell any of your jokes, they're going to think they're my jokes because they heard them from me first. Just so you know, I appreciate him. I grew very much underneath his preaching, and I felt that there was a lot of things that prepared me to minister. And though sometimes I got a little big for my britches, he put up with me, and I was allowed to learn a lot of things. And I appreciate this. And most folks who have visited from Open Door up here have said this is just another one of those, another Open Door. So I appreciate it. And God bless you. I love you. Come up and give me what's on your heart.
Well, amen. It is so good to be here. And I appreciate so much the message, Pastor. That will be preached again. That was good. Thoroughly good. Love your pastor, and I loved him when I first met him, and see him every year at the Sword Conference, and leading the music, and then to come here periodically. I think it's been a while since he's had me up to speak, but I just feel like I'm among a friend, and I just love him to death. Love his family. Thank the Lord for his family. And it's a joy to be here. And I got to tell you what happened to me last night. We've had church last night in the ice, and we had about an inch, I guess a good inch, maybe a little more, of ice that hit last night. And I just don't like to cancel church. You know, I don't like to do that. And so I thought, well, we'll just go ahead and have church, and whoever shows up, shows up. And so we did. We had a pretty good turnout. I was surprised. And after the service was over last night, a bunch of folks, we all decided we were going to go over to the Pizza Hut. And my wife had to be there early for choir practice because our Living Cross is coming up, and she is one of the interpreters for the deaf at Living Cross, and so they wanted to go over everything that the choir was going to do, and so all the interpreters showed up. So she left about 4 o'clock, and she texted me when she got to the church, and she said the roads are really bad, so be careful when you come. And so I thought, well, there's not going to be anybody there, but a good crowd showed up, And man, we had church last night. It was good. And in spite of that preacher we had last night, it was good. And so after the service was over, my wife went to get in her car, which she parked right by the church. And I always park down around the eternal portable buildings that we have. And you know what I'm talking about. The eternal temporaries. And I always park down behind those. So I tell you what happened. They had a parking space for me right by the church, right by the door. And I pulled in there one time. This was 19 years ago. And I saw this little old lady drive by me in her car, and she went all the way out to the back 40 and parked. And by the time I got everything together, here she came, wind blowing, snowing, and I felt so guilty that I didn't even get out of the car till she got in the door. That's the truth. And I went out and took that sign down and gave up my parking space. And so now I park down around the corner and have to walk through the cold and the snow and the ice. Well, last night I was so excited, and we had a great service, and so I started down the little slope, and then when you make the turn around the eternal temporaries, I hit a patch of ice. And my right foot, which I was leading with, my right foot just went shoo, like that. You ever see a cat? You know when you throw a cat? I know none of you have ever thrown a cat. I can tell by the way you're laughing. But when you throw a cat, that thing will twist and gyrate and turn and land on his feet. I did that. 60 years old. And somehow in midair, I turned and landed like this. Well, when I did, I pulled something back here, and I can hardly straighten my neck up today. Now, it's not going to hurt my preaching. Don't worry about that. But I just pulled it again. But anyway, I made it here tonight, and I am just thrilled to be here. And I hope you'll be here in the morning. If you can be, and I hope you'll be back tomorrow night if you can get out. And I don't know what it's supposed to do. You know, I don't think they know what it's going to do. Do you? I'd like to have a job where I got it right about 10% of the time and still got paid for it, wouldn't you? My goodness. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. I like to hear those pages turning. You see, I could be up here preaching out of the funny papers, and you'd never know it unless you had a Bible to keep track of me, right? All right, so Matthew 15, and I want to read starting in verse 28, or let's go down to 29. Look at verse 29, and if you'll all stand with me, you follow along as I read the Bible. It says, "And Jesus departed from thence." Now, where's thence? Well, if you'll go back to verse 21, you will see that the Lord Jesus departed the Sea of Galilee, and he went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. That's Lebanon. This was the only time that he ever went outside of Israel proper. And he went over there for a few days, and you remember the story. There was a woman of Cana there, and she came out and said, "Have mercy on me." And the Lord did have mercy on her and answered her prayer request. And if you will look down now at 29, it says, "And Jesus departed from thence." So he left Tyre and Sidon and came nigh near unto the Sea of Galilee. Now get the picture in your mind, would you, please? Think about what I'm reading here. He came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, watch this now, and he went up into a mountain and sat down there. So he came to the Sea of Galilee, and if you've ever been over there, there are mountains all around the Sea of Galilee, everywhere. So just pick one out in your imagination. And the Lord Jesus walked up on that mountain, and he sat down. Now watch. And great multitudes, plural, great multitudes came unto him, having, what's the next word? With them. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, means they couldn't speak, maimed, not the same as lame. Lame means, you know, be thankful you live in 2015. How many of you broke a bone when you were a child? How many of you went to the hospital and they fixed your bone, put you in a cast, and now you're okay today? Be thankful. Back in Bible times, if you broke your arm, you were in trouble. If you broke your leg, you were in trouble. You were limited from that day forward. That's somebody who was lame. Maimed, anybody ever lose a finger? Anybody? Yeah. You've been maimed, sir. So you're in this category here. I had a real good friend when I was growing up, and he got his hands, you know, it says, big bold print, do not stick your hand in that snowblower. Do not do that. And I would advise you not to do that. You cannot win when you do that. But he got it clogged up, and he just took his hand and stuck it down in there. And when he pulled it out, three of his fingers were gone. Maimed. And many others. And cast them down. So this great multitude brought these people to Christ, and they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. How many of them? How many? All. Yeah, all of them. Now think of that. Great multitudes, and he healed them all. Insomuch that the multitude wondered. I guess they would. I would have. And when wondered, when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole. Wow. Wouldn't you like to have been there that day? The lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. Folks, this went on for 3 days. I guess word spread pretty quickly, didn't it? Hey, there's a guy up on the hill. If you take that boy of yours who can't speak, you take that girl of yours who has a broken leg, you take your daddy who has got dementia, you take your mama who's got diabetes, you take them up on the hill to see Jesus, and he'll fix them. Because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I wouldn't have wanted to leave either. I wouldn't have wanted to leave. I'd have stayed up on that hill. He said, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. In other words, some of them came a good distance. They came a long way. I guess 3 days, man, word could spread and folks could come from a long ways. And his disciples say unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. And they did about half of them eat. That's not what it says, is it? No, they did all eat and were filled. Not only did they eat, they got full. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full, and they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. So if you got 4,000 men, and then let's say they're all married, that's 8,000, and then there are 2.6 children, you do the math. There is a huge crowd of people on that mountain. Wow. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came to the coast of Magdala. I want to speak to you this morning, I want to speak to you a message that I've entitled, Let's Go to the Mountain. Let's go to the mountain. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor Walsh, and thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through his ministry here, reaching souls, seeing people come to know the Savior, their lives changed. And Lord, I just thank you so much for what you're doing here. Thank you for the message we heard a little while ago. Thank you for Brother Toole. What a great message it was. May we remember what we were taught tonight. Oh, Lord, help it to stick in our hearts. And I pray that you will bless now as we look at this passage of Scripture. And may the Lord be honored in what we're about to do. And Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord Jesus is in the very heart of his Galilean ministry. He took the disciples over into Lebanon, over to the twin cities of Tyre and Sidon. And in verse 29, he is now coming back to the Sea of Galilee area. And in verse 30, we read that great multitudes, notice that word is plural, a huge number, came to see the Lord Jesus. Now, I already emphasized to you that this passage of Scripture is covering a 3-day period. This is not something that just happened on, you know, an hour in an afternoon or an hour right after dinner. No, this was a 3-day event. And I want you to notice that the Bible says the Lord Jesus went up into a mountain and he sat down. All around the Sea of Galilee area, there are mountains. I personally think that, and we learn this in one of the other gospel writers, I personally think that the Lord Jesus went to a little town, or it wasn't little, it's a big town, but just the ruins are there today. It is the old Roman city of Beit Shean. They call it Decapolis. The other gospel writer says that he went to Decapolis. Deca means 10, and polis means city, 10 cities. And they called these 10 cities that were strategically located around the Sea of Galilee area, up into Syria, over into Jordan, over one, I think, into Lebanon. And the Romans came and built these cities. and the Romans lived there. So I don't think that I don't have proof that it was Beit She'an, but I think that it was without a doubt one of those Decapolis cities, and probably Beit She'an because of its nearness to the Sea of Galilee. But if you've ever been to Israel, there are mountains that surround Beit She'an. It's amazing. And I can picture the Lord Jesus walking up one of those mountains and sitting down on top of that mountain, and then the people coming for 3 days to see him. I want you to think for just a moment. The Lord has often done his greatest work on the mountain. He gave Moses the law on the mountain of Sinai. He revealed himself to Elijah on the mountain through the still small voice. The psalmist said that Mount Zion, heaven, is in the sides of the north. The Lord Jesus said, or gave his great sermon in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 on the mount. The inner circle of the disciples saw the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus where Moses and Elijah showed up while they were up on the mountain. And of course, the Lord Jesus paid the price of sin and died on the cross for us on Calvary's mountain. Then he ascended back to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And when he returns to establish his millennial kingdom, he will step down upon the Mount of Olives once again. So I think that I am safe in saying that whenever God or his son, the Lord Jesus, is on the mountain, something pretty spectacular is about to happen. And notice that the Lord Jesus walked up into the mountain, and once there, he sat down. Now, is something amazing about to happen? Oh, it is. When he sat down, the Bible says, great multitudes came to him. And they brought their friends and their loved ones, their family, who were suffering from various physical complications. There were those that were suffering from blindness and deafness, and those that were unable to speak, even those who had been maimed along the way. And Matthew says, and many others that he did not name, and he cast they cast them down at the feet of Jesus, and he healed them. Now, folks, think about that for just a moment. Would there have been a sick person or a crippled person or a deaf person or a blind person anywhere in Galilee when Jesus walked upon these mountains? I don't know about you, but if I had a child and that child was sick and I heard what Jesus was able to do, I don't think all the king's horses and all the king's men could have kept me away from taking my child to see the Lord Jesus Christ. If you had a sick child, would you not have taken them to see Jesus? I would have. As a matter of fact, I would have gone and just to see him myself and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me whole. And I'd let him fix these glasses of mine so I wouldn't have to wear them. I'd have him fix all kinds of things. I'd have him fix my mind. I'm losing my mind. It's a slow process, but it's happening. I would have definitely went to see him, and so would you. And the wonder of it all is when the multitude of people came to him, he healed them. You say, Pastor, how many of them? All of them. He healed them all. Verse 31 tells us that the multitude were amazed at the fact that he healed the blind and caused them to see. And they were amazed when the lame were made whole and the deaf could hear and the mute could speak. I'm saying to you that up on that mountain, he met every need. No one left disappointed. Now, in these few verses, I think we can see what is our responsibility as we serve the Lord in 2015. I want you to notice a couple of things from this text. Number one, I want you to notice that our job today is to take folks up on the mountain to see Jesus. That's our job, folks. I have said for years that one of the worst things that the church ever did was get a paid preacher. And I say that because now we all sit around and say, okay, buddy, we pay you, you do it. And it's not just his job. It's everybody's job. There is something fascinating about the way this is worded in verse 30. Notice it says, great multitudes came to him on the mountain, and it was the great multitudes that came who brought with them the folks that were blind and deaf and lame and the others. He was up on the mountain, so question, how were these poor, infirmed folks going to get up there? They had to be helped. Somebody had to help them. Somebody, in many cases, had to physically carry them up to see Jesus. You see, a blind man would have never been able to walk up that mountain alone. A maimed man would have never been able to scale up that mountain. Somebody had to take them to Jesus. And is this not a beautiful picture of what you and I are supposed to be doing today? Folks, Jesus is up on the mountain, and there's a lot of folks who are unable to get up there, so it is our job to help them get to Jesus. And again, notice that every person taken up on the mountain was healed. Man, I am so glad that one day in 1970, there was a knock at our door. And my mother went and opened the door, and it was two people from the fundamental Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, soul-winning church standing there with gospel tracts and a New Testament in their hand, and they invited our family to come to church, and the next Sunday we went, and I heard the gospel, and on the fifth Sunday that I heard the gospel, down that aisle I went, got on my knees, the youth pastor came and opened the Bible, and led me to Jesus. Well, you talk about somebody that was a mess. But the Lord healed my heart and saved me. Folks, that's why we have the soul winning in our churches. That's why we do what we do in our churches. This is why we have the bus ministry and the children's ministry and the teen ministry and the Christian school and the reformers and stream the internet services and the master's club. We are doing our very best to act like the multitude here in this passage and bring those people who are in spiritual need of healing for their souls up on the mountain to see the one that can heal their souls. And everybody was amazed because no matter how bad the case was, he handled it. Imagine if, folks, some poor man who had broken his leg as a child, and now he's in his 40s, and he crawls around and gets up on the back of his brother, and his brother carries him till he can't go any further, and then he slides off, and another brother steps up, and he crawls back on, but they just keep going. But somebody had to take him up there. Somebody had to get him to Jesus. He could have never gotten up the mountain to see Jesus. He was crippled. But someone had compassion on him and brought him to the Lord, and he was made brand new at the touch of the Savior. But now, wait a minute. All right, again, picture it in your mind now. Can I walk down here? Picture it in your mind now. All right, just get it in your mind. Get you a mental image and see the Lord Jesus sitting on top of that mountain. All right, see a line of people. And then you can look down the mountain, and boy, they're coming from every angle. Can you see it? Oh, they're not getting there quickly because they've got somebody, they're carrying them on a pallet. Four are carrying one. This guy's got somebody over his shoulder, and he, come on, man, you can make it. Come on, you can do it. And here they come. Now picture it in your mind. But wait a minute. Don't you think, this went on for 3 days now, don't forget. And don't you think, Brother Toole, the critics were there? Can't you see now, standing just off probably about this far, there's a little group of Pharisees standing there. You know? And boy, they don't like what they're seeing. They just don't like this at all. And so, folks are coming, and the Lord Jesus just reaches out and touches the body. And they're healed. And the Pharisee stands over here, and he looks at that, and he goes, you know what this is? The other says, well, I think I know what it is, but what do you think it is? I'll tell you what I think it is. This is nothing more than easy healism.
Well, come on.
This ain't real. This is not real. This is just easy healism. Now you just mark my word, these people, as soon as they get out of here, they're going to be crippled again. You watch them. This won't work. This is not good. There's nothing to this. I'm so sick of hearing that. I am so sick of hearing that. My friend, listen. We are to tell everybody. 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 I mean, I can just hear him now saying, this is not going to work. Why, this healing that they got, it's not going to stick. This is not real. As soon as they get down the mountain, they're going to be sick again. I just can't believe that anybody can be healed just like that. Really? You're questioning the power of the Savior? I can hear the Calvinists standing off to the side and saying, well, I'm sorry, but you just can't be healed because we just had a little meeting over here and we decided that you were not one of the elect to be healed. Really? You had that meeting and you determined that. I can see some man being led by the hand, and his daddy is leading him by the hand and says, son, we're almost there, and he's been blind from birth, and the Calvinists are standing around hissing and scorning as he is put before the Lord Jesus, and they say, seriously, Jesus won't be able to do a thing for that man. And one touch of the Master's hand, and his sight is restored. Shame on you for saying that taking sinners up the mountain to see Jesus doesn't work. Shame on you. Truth is, there's a whole room full of people here tonight who at one time or another were spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, and they couldn't hear the truth, who were maimed and unable to get up on the mountain, but someone with compassion took you by the hand and led you up the mountain to see Jesus. And when they did, they got healing that was needed for their soul. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice that the people glorified God when they were made whole. They didn't glorify the one that helped them up the mountain. They didn't glorify the apostles. They didn't glorify the church. They glorified the God of Israel because God's representative was standing right there. It was the touch of the Lord Jesus that healed them. When Mark told us this story, Mark tells us that Jesus went to Decapolis in the region of Galilee. That's why I think it was Beit Shean. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, it means that the people who were coming to him on the mountain were not Jews. They were the multitudes of heathens who were there working for Rome and living in the Roman-built cities. And they saw God in one man, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Israel, of Judah's kingly tribe. Folks, do you remember when God called Abraham, the founding father of Israel? He said, I will bless thee and thou shalt be a blessing. When Jesus fulfilled that divine ideal, this multitude got in on it. Multitudes were being blessed and helped, and it was all due to the love and compassion and goodness of the Lord Jesus being on that mountain to receive sinners. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think these people knew who had blessed them? All right, let's use our imaginations, all right? Here's the Lord. Can you see him? He's sitting up on the mountain. And here comes the people. And the disciples are over here and they're saying, folks, form a line here, all right? One at a time, please. If you could just get in line. Everybody get in line. And here's Peter, he's running the show, and he goes, okay, sir, you're next. And so here's a father, and this father's got his little blind son. He's been blind from birth. He was born blind. He's never seen the light of day, not one time. Can you see that father standing there, folks? Can you see the tears running down? He's been in line. He has witnessed what the Savior can do. And he's thinking, is he going to heal my boy? Oh my, is he going to put his hand on my son? And finally they get to the front of the line and Peter says, okay, sir, you're next. And the father's got tears streaming. He's crying so hard he can't even say anything. And he goes, come on, son. And they take that little boy and he puts him down on the ground and he says, now he's right in front of you, son. He's right in front of you. And the Lord Jesus just looks at him with compassion and reaches out his hands and puts his hands on that boy's eyes and boom. Let me ask you a question. Who is the first person that that little blind boy is going to see? Amen. He's going to see the one that did it. You know, when I got saved, it was over here on the right-hand side. I got saved right here, right before you go up in the choir loft, right, off to the side. And when I got saved, here's what I did. I went, whew. I didn't stand up and say, glory to God, preacher. Man, that sermon you preached. No, it wasn't that preacher. It was the Lord that saved me. I didn't look around at the youth pastor and say, hey, everybody, look at the youth pastor here. What a man. No, it was what a Savior. Man, they glorified God, all of them. Why? Because they knew who had touched them. That's why. They knew who it was. There was no doubt. So they get to Jesus, and he heals them. Now, folks, would you go back in your mind to the day when you were taken up the mountain? Do you remember when you got saved? You saw Jesus when your blind eyes were open. You saw Jesus when your deaf ears could hear God's truth. You loved Jesus when your old wicked heart was washed in the blood. I'm just saying that we need to keep taking people up to the mountain to see Jesus. I'm just saying that when we get so busy dealing with life here and our hearts get cold and we have lost our compassion and we start finding excuses for staying home instead of going to church and we start finding excuses for not reading our Bibles, it's time for us to say, wait a minute, I need to get back up on the mountain again. And then lastly, I want you to notice that the ones who brought the sick, the multitudes, the ones who brought the sick, I had never seen this before, but it's here, they got their miracle too. You say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, if you look at verse 32 down to verse 39, they got their miracle too. We have in these verses the feeding of the 4,000 plus. You say, well, I've heard of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Different miracle. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, go back and read it. That happened on the shores of Galilee. And so that one was for Jews. But this one happened in Decapolis. So it was for Gentiles, for heathens. Same Savior, same power, same ability, same compassion. This was the second great miracle of multiplying the bread and the few fishes, but it was done for folks outside the covenant. But notice in both miracles, Jesus fed them before he sent them all home. You see, this carried, that led, that walked, that helped all these infirm folks up the hill also got their own miracle and all the blessings that go with it. And the picture is, whether Jew or Gentile, Jesus saves and provides for all of our needs. They saw the power of his hand. They saw the power that changes lives. And then they saw the power to sustain and give us what we need so we can move on. In other words, folks, they saw in Jesus that he is all they need. Now, folks, listen. There is absolutely nothing wrong with America. And there is nothing wrong with the church today. Or there is nothing wrong with your home. There is nothing wrong with you. And there's nothing wrong with me. But what climbing up the mountain and sitting at the feet of Jesus wouldn't fix. And I have come here tonight to tell you this one thing. We need to keep getting those spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually maimed, and taking them by whatever means possible up the mountain. There's healing in his touch. There is new hope and new life, sins forgiven for those that meet him on the mountain. There is nourishment. There is strength for the day. There is blessing and encouragement for those who will go up on the mountain to see Jesus. A couple of months ago, we had a young man come to our church. He was invited to come by a girl that goes to our church that he met at the local community college. He has done three stints in Iraq. He was in the battle for Fallujah, shot three times, and kept fighting. Post-traumatic stress syndrome is eating his kid up. 23 years old. 23 years old. He got out of high school, went through all that ROTC stuff in high school, and right after graduation, boom, he's in Iraq. All of his platoon, they all call him Baby because he looks like a little baby. And he came and sat up in the balcony. And I gave the invitation. I said, if you're not saved, but you'd like to be saved, you want me to pray for you, raise your hand. And his hand went up. After the service, he came down and he talked with one of my assistant pastors. My assistant pastor tried to get him to realize that how simple it is to be saved, but it just didn't register with him very well. And he went out that week and he told somebody who goes to one of these emerging churches, you know what I'm talking about? One of these cool guy churches, you know? I want my pastor to know God. Not Lady Gaga. Not Hollywood. I want my pastor to know the Bible. Okay? Not Obama. Come on. Well, she ran into one of their people. And he told her that he went to the church the open door Sunday. Oh, well, I guess you got saved then, didn't you? And he said, no, but I'm thinking about it. And here's what she said. She looked at him and she said, well, you can't be saved. He said, what? You can't be saved. He said, why not? She said, because you were over there in Iraq killing people. On Wednesday night, I walked in the door. He was standing against the wall. And I said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, not good. I said, what's the matter? He said, does God not love me? I said, he sure does. I said, who told you God didn't love you? And he told me the story of what this woman had said to him. I said, son, come here. And I pulled him aside, took him off to the side, and I sat down with him. And I said, let me tell you something. You forget what that old Pharisee said to you. You forget it. That Pharisee is a liar, following her father, the devil, who is a liar. And don't believe what she said. And I turned to my Bible where it says, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. And I said, it says right here that if you will call upon the name of the Lord, he will save your soul. And that young man did call on the name of the Lord. And that young man did get saved. And tonight, if you were to go down to Westminster and ask him, Benny, where are you going when you die? Smile comes across that face. And he says, I'm going to heaven. Why? because he got a touch from the Master's hand. I took him up on the mountain, and I showed him one that could help him. And he put his faith and trust in that one. Folks, I don't care what they've done. I've told my people, I said, good night, I've been here 20 years. I know enough on most of you to get you arrested. I said, I've told them umpteen times, and this is the truth. I said, look, if you knew the sorry dog that was sitting around you, you know everybody has their assigned seats. You know, I didn't assign them seats. They assigned them themselves, but they never sat anywhere else except for in their assigned seats. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I've told them, I said, if you knew who was sitting behind you, if you knew who was sitting across from you, you'd move. But that's just what Paul said. He said, but such were some of these. But such were some of you. But such were some of you. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Somebody took you up on the mountain. And you saw the one who could fix what was broken. Folks, I'll tell you, it's time we get up on the mountain again. You want revival in your church? Get up on the mountain. Get up on the mountain. You want God's hand, God's power, God's blessings? Get up on the mountain. The Lord is up on the mountain. Let's pray together. Well, our Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless the word of God to our hearts tonight. Give us ears to hear and help us to have a heart that wants to get up on the mountain. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.